go home now.
Hello and welcome to the Patreon.
Patreon?
It's not the Patreon. The main episode. Lucas is back in studio. Thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, it's good to be here as the resident guest host.
Oh, going back.
Thanks for having me in today.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Thanks for joining me on my podcast. Last week we had a debate without you here. Not really a debate, actually. I just said I don't think Jim Carrey is funny. And John went, I don't think you don't think he's funny.
John said he didn't believe that you believed.
Yeah. John, it's weird. He'll never assert his own opinion on something. What he'll do is say, your opinion is not what you think, which is like the only indefensible thing to say. Cause I'm like, oh, no, it is. And I win.
Did he think it was like the evolution thing or you were just doing a drawn out bit?
He was like, I think you're saying that because it's cooler. And I was like, it's not cooler. Like the riff I did was like I'm in a leather jacket. Like, it's just not funny. It's just silly. I'm like the bad boy of the pod now, flicking a cigarette onto the floor in a leather jacket. What? He's dumb. You know what's funny to me? Violence against women.
The only thing that's funny is the only thing meant not to be funny.
You know what's funny? Death.
Dramatic television shows with good writing.
You know what's funny? The Wire.
Killers of the Flower Moon.
Killers of the...
It's such a statement about not trying to be funny. It's ironically the only thing that is.
Schindler's List.
You want to hear a crazy story quickly about Schindler's List? What? Or do you not want to get off topic?
What happened? What's...
Dude, I took this class in college. It was a film class.
Yeah. Wait, we talked about Schindler's List last episode, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd you guys say about it?
Well, because apparently people think it's offensive, some people. Like some Jews.
They think it's a... Oh, because it's like a white savior movie about...
Yeah, and I went, no, but he really did that. So yeah, you can make the movie.
Yeah.
I was like, I think it's good to honor a guy that saved us from the Holocaust.
Yeah.
Jews are so annoying.
It's also made by a Jew.
Why is it such a white savior movie? We're not... Why aren't we the ones in charge? Oh, because you were getting Holocausted. Yeah. So you weren't really like... You weren't the impetus for a lot of this.
I am not surprised because
he saved us. We saved ourselves. No, he saved you. You did not save yourself. That was all him.
We were brave. You were bravely walking towards the shower. That is brave, but... I mean, you needed a savior. Well, I will say I understand. I was actually just talking about this with someone and about whether people got upset about it now in a modern context. But it's also, yeah, you could have done like bravery stories about like runaway Jews, I guess. But it's a good movie. I'll stand by it as a Jew.
I think it's right to honor someone who saved Jews from the Holocaust. And I hate when progressives outthink themselves. I'm like, no, that's a good thing to celebrate.
Also, it was made by a Jew, and also it did a very good job of accurately categorizing the horrors the Jews witnessed. It wasn't just like Schindler getting in a fight with his wife. It wasn't like that. Wasn't the hardest part of the movie wasn't like Schindler's struggle.
But I love these filthy Jews. I love them, Miranda.
Schindler, yeah. Schindler's Kampf is what it's called. Should I help them or not? They're so goddamn annoying, but they need my help.
Her? You need to spend more time with me.
She's Jewish too.
Those Jews don't matter. I matter.
By the end of it, Schindler's like, there should be a Holocaust against the Jews. Miranda's so annoying.
He trades his wife for just some random Jew. Yeah, that way, Miranda. This is my wife.
All Jews are the same, right? What happened with me with Schindler's List is we took this film class in college where every Sunday you'd screen a film and then Monday there'd be a seminar talking about it. And the syllabus was like very modern. It had a lot of great movies. And one of the good movies that was on it was Bridesmaids. And they were going to talk about like modern comedies.
Yeah.
And which is a great movie. And so that was on the syllabus. So I got super high for Bridesmaids because I've seen it a bazillion times. I was like, I can speak to it. And if I'm going to rewatch it, I might as well be high.
Yeah.
So I got super high with my friends. And then I get to the theater. I'm like, so high. I'm excited to watch Bridesmaids. It's a Sunday night. And the TA gets up and they're like, So we had a bit of an issue with the file for Bridesmaids. Huh. So what we're going to do is we're going to flip the syllabus and watch next week's movie this week. And next week's movie is Schindler's List. So I came in on Sunday night, high, like in my PJs, so excited to watch Bridesmaids. And Schindler's List is like, I mean, Connor can look it up, but I think it's like a 3-hour movie.
It's long.
I was not in the headspace. Yeah. I'd never seen it. I was not.
Oh, you've never even seen it?
No, I had never seen it. Oh, and wow. I was not in the headspace to watch it at that time.
Yeah.
But watch it, I did. I watched 2 hours 15.
Three.
And 15. Oh,
3:15. Wow.
Yep. Yes, it was.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, that was the context in which I watched Schindler's List. But anyway, you were saying about John, you and John were arguing.
Oh, the argument was about how I just don't think, I just never, even as a kid, I was like, he's just overdoing it. Like, it's a bit much.
Do you, are Jim you talking Carrey's about his stand-up comedy. Or just the like?
No, his stand-up's
absolutely.
Decent. That. Yeah. And yeah, I go, when he's acting like in The Truman Show and he's being an actor, he's a good actor.
Yes.
And when he's trying to be funny, he's really viciously, in an acting context, not funny at all.
Yeah.
Like it just makes me uncomfortable because I'm like, he's just acting the way no one acts in real life. And people are going, no one acts that way, so that's funny. When in reality, it's just off-putting to act that way. And that's why no one acts like that.
That's why no one does this.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. I also think I was watching a Jim Carrey movie recently on TV and he goes like, all righty then.
That's what I said.
And I'm like, it's weird to have an actor catchphrase that transcends multiple characters in multiple movies. Do you know what I mean? It takes you out of the movie. It's like if Bruce Almighty says all righty then and fucking Ace Ventura says all righty then, you know it's just Jim Carrey,
right?
Which is not really the point of a movie.
No, he's supposed to act as a different guy in each of them.
I'm with that. Yeah. I liked Jim Carrey growing up.
Oh, you did?
I did like him growing up as a kid. But sitting here when you say that, other than the fact I don't think you actually believe that and you're just trying to seem cool, I can probably...
Whatever. You know what's funny? Movie. Abortion. Kill you know more kids, I say.
You know what's hilarious to me? Accidents in the workplace. The ones that maim or cripple.
You know what makes me laugh? OSHA violations. That's a risk.
White collar crime. Failure to comply with IRS regulations.
Accounting fraud. That's a goof.
You agree? I think I agree. Yeah.
What
is certainly
that?
Right now.
It's definitely for kids.
He's a great actor. In Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Unbelievable.
In The Truman Show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm trying to think of like movies I grew up. You know what I liked? I'll tell you a movie I grew up on that I really liked. Is I liked Liar Liar. Did you watch Liar Liar?
Yeah.
What I liked about his acting there is the justification for why he was so silly is because he's trying to say the truth and it like literally won't come out of his mouth. Mm-hmm. And it's already like a magical premise for the movie.
Yeah.
But I do sort of agree that like in, I guess Bruce Almighty's also magical, but it's like his silliness had nothing to do really with him.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a little much. I liked Bruce Almighty growing up. I loved Liar Liar.
But those are movies. Do you thought he was funny? You did think he was funny growing up and now you're like, eh.
I just remember loving those movies. I don't remember thinking like it cracked me up.
Yeah.
What cracked me up, especially as I got older, was Will Ferrell movies. That cracked me up.
Yeah.
Like Anchorman and Talladega Nights and Step Brothers. And then like even beyond that, like Superbad was kind of the last funny movie to me.
Yeah.
Or one of the last.
Yeah.
Besides Palm Springs cracked me up.
Palm Springs was so good.
Yeah. But I don't remember like Jim Carrey cracking me
up. Did you see Moonlight? Because that's what cracked me up. Hilarious.
The subtle take on the experience of being a closeted black man in remote Florida. Now that's comedy.
You know what's laughable? Green Book. And not the fact that it won an Oscar. It should have. What was laughable was the whole script, casting, film. The entire movie was hilarious.
What I find hilarious? Multifaceted character development.
A hero's journey.
It's not trying to be all set a punch. That's what makes it funny. Yeah, so I'm with that.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah. What was the result of the poll, Connor? Connor is our fentanyl-laced producer of the pod.
65%
So 65% of our pod listeners said Jim Carrey is not funny. And that means 35% said he was funny.
So you're
churn
winning
from the Patreon.
So 65% of people agree with you. So
on
you
the Patreon,
won that one.
Only Patreon people could vote in this.
Yeah.
Another reason to join. Mm-hmm.
If you want to vote on polls.
But yeah, I think I won. And mostly I think it's because I was arguing against John. So it's sort of tough to lose.
There.
Yeah. Everyone listening, I agree with John, but Jamie's right.
John's trying to express an idea that I might agree with if he could express it well.
You know, those they'll have debates on college campuses, like one liberal, one conservative. It's John should argue for the conservatives just so more people become liberal. He would just have such loosely formed.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you think that.
He just feels a way and then he decides. He'll just describe how he feels kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. But he feels. But the issue is, that's not exactly it, is he'll project how he feels onto you.
Mm,
so he'll go, no, you do think Jim Carrey's funny. And I go, no, I don't, that's you. And he'll go, no, I just think you're lying.
You love Aloe. His girlfriend.
I was in Colorado this weekend.
Oh, yeah. You had a nice time.
Beautiful time. I love it. It's my favorite state, probably.
Mm,
it's
up, you like the
it's
outdoors.
It's got to be up there. Well, because it has a city, Denver. And so it has things like I've had good, decent food, at least passable food, and it had beautiful mountains. So that's a great combination. Like Wyoming has mountains and no good food. So I love Denver and I love Colorado as a state. But I was talking to these people who went to the Colorado School of Mines.
Of Mines?
Of Mines. Yes.
Mindes?
I thought it was an interesting conversation. M-I-N-E-S.
Okay.
Because they were like, yeah, we go to the, I was like, what do you guys do? And they're like, oh, we go to the Colorado School of Mines. And I was like, oh, you're miners. And they were like, no. They all laughed. They're like, no, we're not miners. And I was like, you're laughing, but you're the dumb one. You go to the Colorado School of Mines, not for mining.
What do they study there?
I asked, I was like, so what do you guys study if not that? One of them said English. And I went, you can't learn English from minors. I mean, they don't even speak it very well. And then two of them said mathematics. And one of them said engineering, which is the closest to a mining related major.
Is it did you ascertain whether the school is run by miners? Is it in a mine? What is the relationship between the school and mines?
It's like it's like in Lord of the Rings where the dwarfs live. What's that called?
The Shire.
Not the Shire. So the Shire is hobbits, and then dwarfs in, I would never use that term, but in Lord of the Rings, that's what they're called.
In real life, we call them awesomes. People so great that they get to see what it's like all the way down there.
We call them tallents.
People for whom summer is cooler because heat rises.
Anyway, it was, I think it's that sort of a situation. Like it's an underground school. They have class in a cave.
It's the canary in the coal mine is
them.
They are.
They're the canaries in the coal mine. Studying mathematics 4,000 feet below the surface. But I thought it was so funny to go to the School of Mines for something that's not mine.
It's humiliating.
It's really sad.
Word.
Yeah. Sad. But they were listeners, so I wanted to shout them out. But I thought it was hilarious that they listened.
Well, I'm glad that our
School of Mines. That's who's interested in it.
I'm glad that our podcast has reached the students of the School of Mines. And I'm glad that the School of Mines has reached students. Because that seems like the biggest uphill battle. The fact that they've managed to enroll people at a price.
Underground. A subterranean school has attracted.
How is English class? I got the black lung. to answer your question, we didn't read Jane Austen because I was busy coughing up tar.
How was math? Dark. No sunlight in two words.
I'd love to have read a proof, but unfortunately, I couldn't even prove that there was paper in front of me. In the Colorado School of Mines.
I was just upset at them for being unreasonable. They said, we go to the School of Mines, and they laughed when I said, are you miners? And I went, hold on, what you're doing is so much more unreasonable.
Did you clarify whether there were miners going there?
They didn't. They said, no, it's not about mining. And I went, but that's...
Well, that's not advisable. Can I look it up? Or do you want to...
They went, we don't know any mining majors.
Like, what is the Colorado School of Mines?
I'm sure it started as like a school for
Colorado
people that live
School
underground.
Colorado School of Mines football.
They have a football team, apparently, that plays only underground.
Graduation rate, 85%. Only 15% of people die of black lung. Average cost after aid, $25,000. Cheap for a college, too expensive for a college of mine. Acceptance rate, 58%. Can't say I'm super surprised. Better than a coin flip. You want to come? Most likely you will come.
I wonder if it's, if like once you're there, it's a good school.
You can't always get what you want is a phrase not told to people who applied to the Colorado School of Mines.
What they say is dream small. There's a 58% chance that you'll achieve those dreams.
Reach for the mines, because if you fall, you'll land on the ground.
You'll reverse fall upwards back above the earth.
Because if you fall, you can't fall. You're already underground.
Shoot for the center of the earth, and where you'll end up is probably where you started.
That's their saying.
Because you can't really go in the earth. It's hard.
You can't fall if you didn't jump. Can't fall back to earth if you were never elevated.
The Colorado School of Mines is like...
I thought you were
with
saying
no risk, there's no reward. Come.
There's not much we can offer you that you haven't already declined to receive to begin with.
There's not much we can offer you. That's it. That's it. There's not much.
Colorado School of Mines. Sorry.
Colorado School of Mines. You give us 25,000, we'll give you a couple classes underground.
If you pay us $25,000, we bet you can earn $25,000 a year. Forever.
Colorado School of Mines. What you give us in salary is guaranteed to be what you'll earn after you go here.
Your total investment principal will also be your total payout. Which you think is a good deal because you also decided to apply to the Colorado School of Mines.
Economics? Don't have that. Because then you'd wise up to what our scheme is. You'd figure it out. So we don't offer econ currently.
Turns out it's pretty cheap to rent a mine. Especially one that doesn't have any gold or coal or silver or bullion in it.
Colorado School of Mines. Our slogan is, are you sure you're applying to the right school, or did you select the wrong one in a drop-down menu?
The Colorado School of Mines. Did you actually want to be a miner? You have to go to a mining school. This is a school named like a mining school that isn't one. It's a general studies program. Yeah, no, we're confused too. You don't want to be a miner? Good, come here. You do want to be a miner? Get away from the Colorado School of Mines. Mines, the only thing we don't study at the Colorado School of Mines.
Colorado School of Mines. We think Jim Carrey is hilarious because he makes silly faces. People at the Colorado School of Mines watching Jim Carrey. No one looks like that.
Us, more evolved, smart people. The only thing funny is good acting.
You know what's Jim Carrey's funniest role? Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Where he plays a convincingly heartbroken lover.
Who was hurt by his ex, but he would do it again.
That's a beautiful flick.
The one of the best.
So sad. Oh. Does that make you cry? Do you cry easily in movies?
Every time. Yeah, I cry very easily in
movies. Yeah, me too.
But Eternals, but that one is just...
That's a crier.
I mean...
Have we talked about how sad Click was?
No, but I have a... When I saw Click, I was like 8, maybe 6, yeah. 7 or 8. And I was fucking... I couldn't sleep after seeing it. I was terrified.
Yeah.
Because there's one... Because, I don't know, it's just a kind of a scary premise to a kid. Like... Life just, you speed through it to like 50 and then you're fat and old.
Yeah.
And then the angel of death comes and it's Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
And I get to an adult, it's funny, but to a kid, I don't know who Christopher Walken is. I'm not,
it's so
I don't understand
real.
What's funny about Christopher Walken killing him in the end and then waking up. I was just so scared of Christopher Walken in that film. I literally couldn't sleep that night.
And the
crying.
Love of his life is like married to someone else. I found that so, I was... And he's like family first and he like ignores his dad's coin trick because he's on like fast forward mode.
Yeah.
It was such a devastating film.
Yeah.
And then I saw it way too young.
Yeah.
And I understood it fully in the most depressing possible way. In fact, I guess I understood it too fully in that if I were an adult, it wouldn't have seemed so profound.
Yeah.
But it was such a frightening...
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Yeah. And also the premise is so silly. It's in the Beyond section of Bed Bath & Beyond is a life remote.
I know. It's such a silly film. Silly. And then it gets so sad.
Yeah.
I don't know why I cry easily at films. Probably because I'm repressing my emotions usually, but I'm a sensitive person. Were you a sensitive kid?
Yeah. Yeah. I was definitely a sensitive kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. Very sensitive.
I cried a lot as a kid.
I feel like I cried a lot too.
Do you cry a lot now?
Yeah, decent amount. Usually it's like cry from happiness now.
Really?
Usually if I'm crying, yeah.
When was the last time you cried from happiness?
In Colorado.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
When you were hiking?
Yeah.
Were you on drugs?
No.
You were just appreciating?
I was on top of a mountain.
Yeah.
It was so cool, dude. It was so sick. I hiked to the top of this mountain in the Rockies, and it was like freezing cold. I just had like a long sleeve shirt. I was freezing, but like I don't know. I can just like stand that kind of shit. I think it's funny actually, being cold. I think, you know, it's hilarious, hypothermia.
And up there, I came across the Colorado School of Mountains,
which is just a normal school.
It's just a regular school.
It's not even on the mountain. It's in Boulder.
There were people in an English class, and they weren't learning about mountains, nor were they on a mountain. It's really easy to get in, and it's pretty expensive to go.
So well. I was on top of this mountain. I hiked up, and it was freezing cold. And then... It was like on top, you could see the whole view of pretty much the whole park.
Yeah.
Or at least a large portion of the park. There's like a valley and then all of these like 14,000 foot mountains, like all of it in front of me from this, like, you know how I stand? I was standing on the edge of this cliff.
Yeah. Ugh, that scares the shit out of me.
And then from the...
Jamie stands.
Yeah.
Jamie and I have gone... Jamie loves national parks. Jamie and I have gone to some national parks together on the road, but also just on vacation as friends.
Yeah.
And...
describing the context so in detail. Also just on a friendship level, I guess we were there too.
When you get along with someone well enough and you guys share about each other, you build this feeling that's not, you don't want to fuck him, but you like him. You want to be around him.
Describing friendship.
It's like a non-sexual magnetic propulsion.
You fuck with words.
Towards another.
Towards.
Two words, another.
Two words, another.
And other.
Two words.
But we went.
And other.
And Jamie goes, he just stands on the edge of being.
Right on the edge.
It's because he's not super.
Attached to being alive.
Yes.
That's correct.
And I don't even.
Like it. Just guessing everything he's.
Yes. No, I'm not even like so attached to being alive myself. Like death is not a thing that plagues me, but my fear of heights is paralyzing, which is interesting because I was a competitive skier and I jumped off cliffs and stuff. But over like deathly falls, my fear of heights gets paralyzing if I'm not on snow or above water. If I'm above like land, I freeze up. My palms get sweaty and cold and it just stinks. It stinks.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Jamie does that, but you were all
I feel
alone.
That fear, but I like that fear. You know, it reminds me that I'm alive. So I'm standing on the edge of this mountain, 100-foot drop to the closest boulder below me.
Probably more.
No? No, because it's just like mountains don't just, there's it's not no, a
I
sheer
know
face.
That they jag, but I'm just saying.
It was 14,000 feet directly down. Yeah, it was like 100 feet.
It
and
was
I was
a
like,
sheer cliff.
I was just looking I over like, based wow, I would die. And it was so like snowy and slippery. It was so dangerous. And I had like normal shoes on, like
I'm
normal
so glad
sneakers
I wasn't
with
there.
Like the bottoms worn off. So I have no like grip at all.
You know, if you had fallen, it wouldn't have been clear to anyone that it wasn't a suicide, right?
Yeah, it would have been. Yeah, or
probably
me.
Would have been perceived as a suicide.
I'm not sure if I want this, and then died. I'm unclear as to.
There should be a word for what happens when you're so indifferent about your life that you accidentally kill yourself, but you did put yourself in a situation that was not safe. Maybe that's just a suicide.
No, it's more of a neglicide.
Sounded racist.
Should I choose a different word? Because I was saying it's a suicide by negligence.
Yeah, no, I understood what you were saying.
Well, it's a death of despair is kind of the word for it. Like a drug addict. It's not a suicide when you overdose on drugs.
No, but you weren't in despair. You were having a beautiful moment.
It's not a suicide when you overdose on drugs, but it's pretty much a suicide. It's a death of despair. Anyway, it's not what I said before. The N-E-G-L-I-C-I-D-E is not the word.
Indifricide.
Indifricide. Mm-hmm. That's good. But so I was looking over, and then from the west, there's like a snowstorm rolling in through the valley. It's like, you know, it's like a humongous valley. It's just mountains. And there's just, you could see this snowstorm slowly coming. And I just stood there the whole time as it just like progressed through the valley. And then I was just in a blizzard. And then I just like walked, hiked back to my car.
Well, at what point did you cry? Like, what was the moment?
I think I cried like when it started to roll in. I was like, this is insane.
It's just so beautiful.
Yeah.
You were just in awe of its beauty.
I was
you were
just
happy to be alive. And happy to have a release from like work and life and just to be there.
It was the only time I'm like, I can be grateful for just being able to experience.
Yeah.
Period. End of it.
Mm.
Everything's so caught up in anxiety, but I was just like, wow, it's crazy. I can just see that.
Yeah.
Roller coaster.
You could just be there just and have that moment.
It's crazy. Yeah. I was just like, that's lucky.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I can't think of the last time I get moved on my birthday.
Really?
Yeah. Through nostalgia though. Like,
oh.
But I also get moved when people go out of their way to do nice things for me. But
like when I send you like memes, let's say like
we were having such a nice time.
Bro says I'm not pooky, and then also bro, it's like a little kitten.
We were having so much fun. Why'd you bring this up? He's a terrorist in my DMs.
You always say enough or stop, but you never block me. Put your money where your mouth is.
Blocking you.
So yeah, you feel like, oh, I miss the child I was.
Yeah, or I just think about it, the passing of time, and I get moved by it.
Yeah. What moves you by it? The fact that we didn't know each other, and now 5 years later, I'm sending you memes like me running back to bro's arms after a long day, and it's like a kid running into their parents' arms and crying. It doesn't move you to think about how at one point
shut up
about one point we were strangers.
Shut the heck up.
I won't stand for it.
Enough of that, miss. I don't know what moves me about that. I think it's like the kid I was and the kid I'm not anymore. Do you ever mourn a part of yourself that's disappeared with age?
Yeah.
Like I was this sweet, sensitive kid, and now.
And now I'm a bad boy.
I'm the kind of guy that could only get a good laugh from The Sopranos.
Or a documentary about climate change. But you're not connected to that.
Yeah, I'm not so connected to who I was.
You're just an international sex symbol.
I just feel like a stranger to myself sometimes. Do you ever feel that way?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how I feel.
And in what moments? Like, do you feel that on your birthday?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, how am I this old?
Yeah, like, how do we get here a little bit?
Yeah.
And so many different phases of life and so many different friendships that have come and gone. And then I just feel emotional, like, about all of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think about, like, all the ways my birthday used to be, from, like, my mom and my sister coming, like, waking me up in my twin bed and singing me happy birthday and having a cake, to, like, just not, there's, like, no present anymore because you just don't ask for that.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, it's like, I don't want a present, but it's the idea that I don't want a present is sad because it's just a symbol of my age. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Like, I want to want a present, but I don't. And so I'm sort of mourning that piece of me.
Yeah, yeah. The part of you that wanted a present, that is no longer.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, I used to think, like, how sad would it be to get to the age where you get socks or boxers for, like, Christmas and you're grateful?
Yeah.
Because I remember adults would get, like, practical things.
And like it. Yeah.
And then I got boxers from Kitty, my girlfriend, for my birthday. And I was like, thank you. I needed these and I wouldn't have gotten them for myself. And then I sort of mourned the part of me that was a kid.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, that's a uniquely adult moment.
Yeah.
Is just to get boxers for your birthday.
Yeah.
And just be like, thank you. And mean it.
You know? Yeah. And that's what you want.
It's heartbreaking.
But it's not even like you want. Well, is it like you want to want a toy? Or you're just kind of sad that part of you is gone.
It's just gone.
Because you don't want to be that. You don't want to be a 29-year-old going, why didn't you get me a hockey stick? I wanted a hockey stick, Kitty. You know that. Whatever. Thanks for the box. I appreciate that.
Okay, so I guess it's not a WeFlex ball where you throw it on the ground and it could bounce in a variety of different directions. And I could jump and throw and catch it quickly. I guess we're just doing box holes now.
Cool.
Worst birthday ever.
Oh, nice. Just Fox. Good. Huh. Didn't even want a PS5.
Guess my shoes will be lubed up.
Guess I'll put on these foot condoms and walk around.
So yeah, I don't.
So what? The point is, like, I can flip around on my hardwood floors. That's not even the point. Wow. Cool gift.
Wheel inventive. Something I already have, but could use more of.
Nice. Yeah. You want to give me a fork? How about a cup? Thanks, Kitty. I love you. You're beautiful.
So, yeah, I don't know. I guess it's just those days are gone.
Yeah.
And being almost 30, it's like.
But they're not necessarily.
Do you know what I'm not experiencing, though? And I think we never, like, appreciate what we're not, the crises that we're not having.
Yeah.
Is I don't have any crisis of, like, am I doing the right job for me?
Yeah.
Like, I know I'm doing the right job for me. I guess I could be, like, in a different place in it, or I could be a better comic or more successful. But I'm like, I bet people who are, like, working in corporate right now are like, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
Where is this leading?
I know.
And I don't have that at all. So that's sort of nice.
That's something to be grateful for.
Yeah.
Because that also is, like, one of the biggest. Because everyone, obviously, the biggest sources of that kind of feeling is, like, a relationship and job.
Yeah.
But to have the job out of the way is pretty huge.
Yeah. It's, like, the two things. It's, like, am I in a relationship that I want to be in? And am I in a job that I want to have? And my goal of my 20s. Was to end my 20s with a relationship I am only looking forward to the future in, and a job that I'm only looking forward to the future in. Right now, I have those things. I think as I've gotten older, I realize they're actually not a given. And to say you want that by the end of your 20s is like,
it's crazy.
It's just like, not a constant. You can't have that forever.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully you can, and I think some people do, but it's not expected that once you decide and find the thing, you're set.
It's yours.
So I guess what I've learned from my 20s, now that I'm 29, is that it's probably never going to be always the case.
Yeah.
But right now I have it, and I guess I have gratitude for that.
Yeah, yeah. It's in a way, the gifts that we want when you're younger make more sense, actually, because of what you just said.
Wait, explain.
You're talking about the ephemeral nature of being.
Yeah.
How nothing really lasts and the only permanent state is impermanence.
Yes.
But that's why like it makes more sense kid gifts.
Like, yeah.
Okay, well, given that I'm definitely going to die and maybe my relationship will never last, just give me a tech deck. It's like fun. I like do tricks with me.
It's like a skateboard. There's something more comforting about a toy you'll forget about in 2 weeks than boxers you'll have for years.
Yeah.
Because when I get boxers, I'm like, oh, well, I can't commit suicide until these are broken in.
That's what you think? I'm trying to think what I think. When I get a gift like that, like boxers, I mostly go, oh, I'm going to have to think about you giving this to me every time I put them on.
Really?
Yeah.
Like if we break up, you mean?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Never throwing them out because I don't want to purchase a new pair for myself, but always torturing myself when I put them on.
I'm trying to think because, we've broken up already, but
Not currently broken up,
but we're back together. Yeah. But I'm trying to think of like things that I had that I just had to like reclaim for myself.
Yeah.
Certain songs are a hard one. But I believe you can reclaim them. But I guess a gift you got is harder to reclaim.
Songs are hard. Yeah.
Songs are hard.
Yeah.
Do you have certain songs you can't listen to from past relationships?
Yeah, definitely. There's like a whole playlist from my high school. My girlfriend, she made it for me. And it's all like Bahamas. You know Bahamas?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that kind of lost in the light.
Like Jack Johnson kind of vibes?
Yeah. Singer-songwriter. Like the most gentle.
Gentle pure alternative rock, I
alternative,
guess.
Like it, more singer songwriter. It's more acoustic than rock.
Acoustic,
but yeah, it's alternative. It's not pop.
Yeah, yeah.
It's definitely alternative, but it's slow and like gentle, and beautiful.
Music.
No,
well, it's good music for a luau.
What is this narrative you're pushing about?
I'm just saying, if we were to have a luau, and you know, we wouldn't, unless we were in Hawaii.
Yeah,
on the Big Island or another. Kauai.
But Bahamas isn't luau music. Lost in the light. That's like a very, that's what I think of it as fireplace music. Like you're just curled up by a fireplace.
Takes me to take me home.
Yes. So anyway, I have a playlist that she made me that I can't listen to.
Really?
It always makes me so nostalgic and sad for like the spring of senior year of high school when I just was high and it was nice. And it hadn't gone wrong yet.
The early stages of addiction
didn't really ruin my
addiction.
It was like I was in love with her, and then I was also doing Oxy in a really nice way.
How often were you doing Oxy at that time?
Well, you know, a couple times a week, I'd say. Maybe as much as I could get it, 4 or 5 times a week.
Like the same.
And then when I'm not on Oxy
at night only or throughout the day?
No, I would take it at school. Our favorite thing, I think I told this last episode, we had meeting for worship because it was a Quaker school.
Yeah.
Every week you sit for 45 minutes with the whole school in one room and we would always take it before that.
Did you have Oxy buddies would always do it with you?
Oh, yeah. And we would always just fall asleep. It's a downer. And the whole thing is you sit there silently for 45 minutes, so we would always get woken up.
At the end or would they wake you up in the middle?
If they caught you in the middle, but there was ways to do it where you just sleep.
Because you're supposed to not speak until you feel compelled to speak, right?
By the spirit. I never spoke, ever.
So if you put your head... That must have been nice. That's a nice period, huh?
Amazing.
You put your head down. You're on OxyContin.
It's a nap time. It was adult
nap. Heroin addicts should be Quakers, huh?
Certainly some overlapping
activities.
It's a
good way
activities.
To heroin.
Yeah. Dude, it was so nice. And then I was seeing my girlfriend who I loved, very sweet, gentle first love.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No drama. There's no like, we were like, we just love each other. It was like the first love where there's no like, oh, well, I don't know. What if my career doesn't work out? And then I have to, you know, how can I provide for it?
Just
being in love, you know?
Yeah.
Fucking a lot.
Well, first love is crazy.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
So anyway, when I listen to that playlist, I think about that time. And I'm like, oh, that was so nice.
Any songs in particular that you just can't go?
I'm lost in the light.
That one? But that one, interestingly, the thing that...
I lost my virginity to that song.
Really?
Yeah.
The light being the proverbial vagina.
Lost in the light.
Yeah. Did you come quick when you lost your virginity?
Yeah, man. What? Who lasts a while?
I couldn't get hard for a while.
Okay.
I was really nervous.
Yeah.
So I was super in my own head during it. And as a result, like I didn't last a while, but I didn't. And I had a condom on, which is kind of funny.
You wore a condom?
Yeah.
That's hilarious,
isn't it? I don't know why it's unusual.
You're like the people that wore masks before COVID. It's a very adult thing to do. It's like so odd, so careful.
I think she wasn't on birth control in 2017.
That's what you were doing.
I think she wasn't on birth control, and that was what we did.
Oh, pregnancy. Well, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't like.
No, I thought you were saying STD.
No.
I was like, that's so.
That wasn't on my mind. I think.
Okay.
But I definitely wore a condom.
Yeah.
And it just didn't feel like much. I wasn't super hard, and it was like a gummy worm dick with a condom on. In like a vagina that was trying its best to be wet. But I mean, all things considered, I wasn't exactly nailing the foreplay, you know? So
the foreplay where I shake and go, do you want to try tonight?
I'm sorry. Give me one more second. Wait, no. I'll be able to do it. No. Can we not give up tonight? Because if we give up tonight, this is. I remember saying this. She was like, do you want to just try another day? I was like, if we give up tonight and we don't succeed tonight, it will become a thing for me that will stay
over my
head. Well,
that's a good foresight.
So I was like, I need to get it done
tonight.
That's
true, yeah.
So I struggled and struggled probably for an hour or two to get hard. And then eventually,
yeah.
I think out of almost frustration.
I've lived that moment so many times, the struggling to get hard.
I haven't lived it many times, but that was one of them.
It's such a weirdly personal moment that someone else is there to witness.
Yeah. And there's no explanation.
Her, do you need help? No, stop. Closing your eyes. Stop it. Stop. Don't say anything.
I have to think about something else.
Okay, I'm ready. Get on me. I lost it. Get off.
Once I was in there, I think I found it because there was that feeling when I got in there.
Yeah.
The first time I felt it in there, I was like, I think this is sex. So now the box has been checked.
Not being sure.
I wasn't 100%
sure. I think I'm doing it.
I mean, condom sex.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't had condom sex. So.
Yeah, it's not great. And I couldn't have been 100% sure that it was happening.
Yeah.
But then I got in there. So then I probably came.
Oh, you did come, but you were.
I did come ultimately.
Okay.
But I would say it took me probably longer to come than some of the times I've had sex in the last year.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So in that regard, I mean, I guess the better I got at sex, the more turned on I was, the faster I came and the easier it was to get hard. So I kind of have had a reverse trajectory, but therefore I guess I'm not good at sex because I'm coming fast, which is not a good.
Good at sex is a very bad phrase.
Yeah, it's a subjective phrase to whoever.
Well, it's an incredibly judgmental phrase for an act that shouldn't be marred by that kind of thinking.
Do you know how
it's about connection ultimately, like connecting with your partner, being attracted to them and like showing them and them doing the same. And
I now identify good sex as not being in my head with whatever I'm doing during the thing.
Right.
Like
right,
if I'm sort of lost in it, whatever that is, that to me is good sex, and not being like, oh, I just said that, or I just did that, or is she liking that? If I feel confident that it's like, and I'm just, there's no second narrative. Yeah. I'm like, that is flow state sex. Sex flow state.
Reaching peak performance sexually.
Sexual flow state with open feelings and willingness for improvisation.
Ironically enough, she is also what we would describe as in a sexual flow state. She's on her period. heavy flow.
Heavy flow period sex. Flow state sex.
Flow state. She's in a sexual flow state because I'm fucking her on her period.
She's in a flow state because she's bleeding. I'm in a flow state because I'm not in my own head about that. It's awesome.
It's awesome. It's great.
Bloody flow state period sex. Rocks.
Wait, what? Oh, yeah. It's isn't that an interesting...
Are you a no period sex guy?
No, what? Of course I'll do it.
Oh, okay.
Have you met me?
No, I know, but I thought at one point we had an argument about this. But it wasn't you or you and I.
Maybe going down on women on their period.
Are you no on that?
I'll do that. But it wasn't like that for a while, I guess. So that's a change.
I'll do both of those things, and I'll say, you know, going down on a woman when she's on her period to me is like playing a racket sport when I have something in my eye. Yeah. Like it's a little bit hinders my enjoyment, but I can get it done.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm happy to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm happy to play a racket sport when something's in my eye. I just might need a set.
Yeah. That's a good analogy.
Not really.
Sort of. It's something a little irksome that doesn't quite make it insufferable, but you're just like, I would rather this wouldn't be happening.
It's not a terrible
analogy.
And that's
not how I feel. I feel like it's playing a racket sport when you're well rested, well hydrated, and you're just ready to play the racket sport. That's what I think of as period sex, is just the best version of racket sport. It's playing a racket sport when they're exactly at your level and you're well rested, well hydrated, and you've eaten the correct amount of time before the sport.
I compare period sex to playing a racket sport with a woman who's on her period. Because you're engaged in a consensual, fun activity with someone who's on their period.
It's like talking to a woman when she's on her period. Well, it's actually sort of like doing a business deal with a woman on her period because, you know, she's on her period.
And you guys are doing something together.
Doing so. It's a shared activity. Jim Carrey having period sex.
Ew.
Gross. Do I do a good Carrey? I feel like I do.
No.
I feel like I do, it's though. But I feel like I do.
I don't.
But I feel like I do.
Oh, that's good.
John, I feel like you think that I do. I feel like you're just lying to seem cool, but you actually secretly do think I do a good one.
If I'm being honest, I admit that you do a pretty awesome carry. Yeah. No, you don't. It's bad.
Here, you have a good carry. You've done
it
before.
I'm bad at doing.
Can you do Jim
Carrey on command?
Can you do Jim Carrey? Okay, heard, understood, valid. Now, can you do Jim Carrey having period sex?
All righty then.
That was pretty good.
That was just Jim Carrey. That wasn't Jim Carrey having period sex.
That was why it was great, man. Yeah. You nailed it, Pookie.
Thanks. All right, let's end the episode, Connor.
Connor! Hey!
Uh-oh. Right, that's our episode.
Connor thinks it's a meeting for worship.
Can I go home now?